This morning I would have you turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 22. Since this is a communion Sunday, I wanted to bring our attention to the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ and his victory on our behalf. So let's bow together for prayer before we begin. Oh, our great and gracious God, you who have done great things for us, you who have shown us great and mighty things in our salvation, the salvation of our souls, we come to you this day and ask that you would reveal the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory to us, in and through the supper, the Lord's supper that we shall partake later this hour. We pray that our hearts have been drawn out to you, Lord Jesus, because of what you've done, the great sacrifice that you have made, the sufferings which you endured, so that we could be here this morning, so that we could receive your truth anew and afresh, so that we could remember all that you have done for us in our salvation. Oh, do come to us, we pray this morning, and manifest your special presence to your people. May we feast upon Christ. May we know your rich blessings, filling our souls and strengthening our hearts to do your will. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. When we come to the Lord's table each month, it is to remember Christ's sufferings and death for us, and publicly to proclaim his triumph over all of our greatest enemies. God intends that through this means of grace, there will come to our hearts personal reflections upon Christ's grace and His glory. The Lord intends that many applications of truth concerning what He has done for us will come to our minds at this time. The Holy Spirit will lead us to thoughts about our Savior, which will strengthen and nourish our faith, so that we'll be able to face what lies ahead of us in terms of temptation and suffering for Christ's sake. In remembering Christ's sufferings and death, we will remember that He laid down His life for us so that we would not perish in our sins. We will give Him thanks for this, His supreme sacrifice. But in coming to the table here this morning, we also want to remember that our Lord Jesus has died so that we as believers might be able to ourselves die to sin daily and live to righteousness in every situation of our lives, whether it's good or bad, whether it is pleasant or whether it is unpleasant. So the theme that I want you to consider with me this morning is this. We are strong as Christians, able to endure trials and temptations, and able to do our Lord's will because of what Christ did for us. Christ went before us in all the situations which relate to our obedience. His obedience was perfect, and His sufferings purchased the many blessings of our salvation. So during this time of preparation for our taking the Lord's Supper, we want to think more deeply about Christ's sufferings and His victory over sin and death. We want to see more clearly the benefits of grace which He died to purchase for us. These benefits of grace not only save us from our sins, but they sustain us in all of our trials. We want to look first at what it meant for Christ to be forsaken by God for our sins, and then if we have time, we will look secondly at His enduring the cross and despising the shame so that we can change to be like Him. Now, first of all, we want to look at what it meant for Christ to be forsaken by our God for our sins. Verses 1 to 10 of the Psalm, my God, why have You forsaken me? Why are You so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but You do not hear. And in the night season, I cry to You, He says, but I am not silent, but You are holy. You see, this psalm is a psalm of David, but it refers primarily to Jesus Christ. It's true that David may have had certain situations in his life which these verses describe, but these verses go far beyond David's experience, and they are quoted by the gospel writers as referring directly to our Lord Jesus Christ and His sufferings on our behalf. In these first two verses, we find our Lord forsaken by His Father, whom He calls my God, in both verses 1 and 2, three times. God is the God of Christ, and He was made a man, and He was given a human nature. And our Lord Jesus recognized Himself as being in covenant with His God. As John Gill says, He prayed to Him, believed in Him, loved Him, and was obedient to Him, and here expresses His faith of interest in Him, on account of which He reasons with God in this way. You see, the Lord Jesus, while He walked upon the earth in this whole time of His life and ministry, He always knew his Father's favor. The Father was always pleased with Jesus as he walked upon the earth. He always had his Father's presence, his Father's nearness, his Father's blessing. The fullness of the Spirit was given to him without measure, and he never knew the loss of it during the whole time of his earthly ministry. But now, as he hung upon the cross, he realized that his sufferings on behalf of sinners involved the loss of his Father's gracious presence and help to him. He was being reckoned and seen by the Father as a transgressor. And he was being punished accordingly and justly, not on account of his sins, but on account of our sins. Indeed, the sense of being forsaken for him began even before this, at the time leading up to the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, even at that time, he began to feel the tremendous and awful weight of the guilt of our sins, the Father's displeasure against our sins, which he would bear, the Father's anger, the Father's wrath, because the Lord Jesus chose and was willing to suffer in our place. It's very hard to bear when you, as a righteous, holy person, as the Lord Jesus Christ was, begin to realize that you, who are not only innocent of any wrongdoing, but not guilty of any sin, now suddenly have to face your own Father's wrath and bear it in the place of those who are guilty sinners. But you know, our Lord Jesus loved us so much that that's what he was willing to do. And we must, as we contemplate these things, we must remember that the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ did this all because of their love for sinners. The Father poured out his wrath upon his Son because of his love for you, the sinner. The Father sent his Son out of love to fallen sinners. The Lord Jesus freely and willingly went to the cross so that you would not have to bear the wrath of God for all of eternity. The Father loved the world so much that he gave his Son to bear the punishment due to our sins, and that punishment might be fully borne by Jesus. Dear Christian, is there any sin that you feel that Jesus did not bear on the cross that day, you who are trusting in him? For all of your sins were laid upon him when he was nailed to the tree. And when you believe in Jesus, it isn't just some of your sins that are forgiven. It isn't just some of your past or something that you might do in the future even as a Christian. No, all of these sins are laid upon Jesus at the cross, so that when you believe in him, that he bears them all in his body, he bore them all in his body on the tree. Jesus knew that it was the Father's will that he pray always, and yet when he prays here, he does not receive an answer, at least not immediately, not before he dies. If we were there, we would have heard the words of his groaning, and yet there was no aid given to him by the Holy Spirit to help take those groans and make plain sense of them to the Father. But in your prayers, dear Christian, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Your groans are taken by him And they are lifted up by the Spirit to Jesus and to the Father through Him, so that it might be perfectly understood by the triune God your case and condition when you pray. Jesus, it says in the book of Hebrews, prayed with strong cryings and with tears that He might be delivered from the Garden of Gethsemane and from the cross that was coming. There was an agonized wrestling with God there in the garden, a wrestling in prayer that there might be some other way. And although it says in Hebrews 5:7 that God had the power to deliver Him from death, for our sakes, it says He had to learn obedience. He who is perfect had to learn obedience through the things that He suffered. His prayers, His cries were heard. They were noted for their piety, it says there in Hebrews 5. They were noted for their piety by God, but there was no witness from the Father to Jesus' own Spirit that He was even ever heard or that He would be answered during that time before He went to the cross. All this was for our sakes, and we need to understand that we do not deserve for God to hear us in our prayers or hear us when we cry to Him for salvation. We are not automatically heard by God or automatically merit favor in His sight to have Him answer any of our prayers. To have your prayers answered is a privilege that comes to you through Jesus Christ, your Lord, and on account of His sufferings. This privilege was something that Christ purchased for you, dear Christian, by His sufferings at the cross. Christ prayed believingly. He prayed trustingly. He prayed continually. And yet He was not heard in the time leading up to the cross so as to be rescued and delivered from any of His sufferings so that you and I can pray believingly, so that we can pray trustingly, so that we can be heard. This is certainly a reason that you ought to avail yourself of this blessed privilege of prayer more often. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, it says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1. In verse 3, Jesus confesses that God is holy, even though the answer that He had been looking for and hoping for was to be rescued, was to be delivered. But that wasn't coming. And yet the Lord Jesus says here, in perfect righteousness, He says, "But you are holy," He says to His Father. Enthroned in the praises of Israel, He says to Him there in verse 3. He reminds the Father that the fathers in Israel had always found Him faithful, that is, found God faithful, when they had trusted in Him, when they had cried to Him, and He had heard them and delivered them, and they were not ashamed. And yet here was the Lord of glory on the cross, and He is being put to shame. But not for Himself, but for you. You see, our Lord does not sin in any way here. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He knew that He was righteous. He knew that He did not deserve either the hurtful treatment at the hands of sinful men or the wrath of His Father. He didn't deserve that. Yet, we find Him here willing to undergo it for your sake, dear Christian. In undergoing these sufferings, He is all the while confessing that God is holy in giving them. He is holy in arranging and ordering that all of these events would fall out just as they did when they mocked Him and spat upon Him and scourged Him and put the crown of thorns upon His head. When they brought Him out in front of the crowd and Pilate said, "Behold your king, this gory mess." You see, all this while, Jesus is not sinning in the least, but bearing our sins all together and what we deserve in punishment. He comes to see himself in the midst of this desertion, in the midst of his sufferings, as a worm and not a man, verse 6. Evil men charged him with what was not true about himself. They reproached him. It says here, they despised him. They ridiculed him. They mocked his strong faith in his Father God. He trusted in the Lord. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But see how wonderfully in this that Jesus' faith does not fail. He perseveres in his trust in verses 9 to 11. He remembers all that the Father had done for him in taking him and bringing him out of his mother's womb and making him trust when he was upon his mother's breast. We need to remember this, that Jesus' faith never failed. In the worst of all of his sufferings, even when he was being forsaken by God, he cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, he did this in order that his faith would prevail. In the freest and fullest exercise of it during that time. Why? So that your faith will never fail, because he intercedes on your behalf. You remember Peter, when Peter failed him? Before he went to the cross, Peter said, "I'm going with you." And Jesus says, "No, you will not. For before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times, Peter." And just when he was denying the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And it says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. But you know something? Before that, Jesus had said to him, "I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail." Well, you know, that's the reason why our faith will not fail. We who are trusting in Jesus. The reason that our faith does not fail is because that Jesus has never failed, even when he was forsaken. Now we need to see that. We need to see that he cast himself upon God. He cast himself upon God even just as he did when he was a youngster on his mother's breast. Even when he was too young to be able to do everything that he might want to do. As a man, he was a little babe at one time. And he wasn't able to do those things that you would think the Son of God, who was a babe, would be able to do. There was a helplessness there. There was a need for him to be cared for by his mother. You see, he did this in the full confidence, the full belief that his trust would prevail in his Father. Samuel Eiles Pierce, taking the thoughts of our Lord Jesus when he was in prayer during his sufferings, he says this. He says, speaking on Jesus' behalf, he's saying, Thy love, Father, wisdom, goodness, and care have been every moment from that time to this exercised towards me and upon me. Thou art my God from my mother's womb. I acknowledge then this, the secrets of my mind, that thou stood in this relation to me. I profess this to the very present moment. In the full belief of this, my faith is kept up under all my sufferings, in the free and fullest exercises thereof. On this I stay myself. Thou art my God. I have been thy Holy One from my birth. I am holiness itself in thy sight and before thee. In the confidence thou art my God, I cast myself on thee to be carried through all my sorrows and suffering. You see, he was cast upon God, he says, when he was too young to be able to do anything for himself. Now, dear Christian, you need to understand that's how you need to cast yourself upon Christ when you are in your deepest, darkest times of suffering and difficulty with regard to your faith. Remember that Jesus' faith never failed, and so never will yours fail because of him. Do you see that? You need to make that link in your mind. All of these things that Jesus suffered, he suffered for our sakes who believe in him. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Now, dear Christian, do you say that? Do you pray that back to the Lord when you are in your deepest, darkest times of difficulty and distress? The Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. Then we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see, when you come to the table here in just a minute, will you not remember that the Lord became a worm and not a man in his own sight, in order that when you see yourself as a worm and not a man in God's sight, that you need not stay there in that predicament? Because Jesus didn't stay there in that predicament. He fulfilled all of the law, and he laid down his life for our sins. And although sinless in himself, he still bore all the feelings and the shame of the guilt of all of your sins. He became sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God in him. So this feeling like a worm, which he was on the cross, led him to think and to feel that he was the lowliest and the most despised creature in all of the world. Why? For you, dear Christian. So that no matter how low you see yourself, Jesus went lower. Jesus went lower in feeling your shame than you could ever do. Remember that, dear Christian. He bore this on your behalf so that you would not have to bear it now, and that you would not have to bear it for all eternity. He bore this on your behalf, dear Christian, so that when you mourn over your sins in repentance, that you might be comforted by the thoughts of forgiveness as you confess your sins. He bore this so that you might know God to be your God forever. He was reproached. He was despised. He was ridiculed and mocked so that you might know and understand in your soul the reality of God's acceptance and love toward you. Christ's sufferings purchased forgiveness for all of your sins. Christ's stripes and wounds have healed your sin-sick soul, so that day by day, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses your heart and your mind from all sin. Now I want you to come down, and I want you to bring your hymn book and your Bible with you. Come down front here, and I'll have a few more words to say to you about my third point, even though I can't give you my second one. Be hymn number 310, and we'll be singing the first three verses. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen. Here grasp with firmer and the eternal grace, and all my weariness upon thee lean. Here would I feed upon the bread of God. Here drink with thee the Here would I lay aside each earthly love, here taste afresh the calm of sin forgive. This is the of banquet and of song. This is the heavenly table spread for me. Here let me feast and feasting still bright of fellowship with thee. Well, there's just a few more thoughts I want to give to you, and this is actually my third point of the message. I didn't have time to give you the second, but that's okay. I've said enough in that regard. But I want you to see here from the words of our text that the Father did answer the prayers of the Son. It says so in verse 21. 21b, it says, "You have answered me." It's like it's a shout of triumph is what it is. "You have answered me." And he said that, I'm sure, in triumphing in his death. He did die. He really died. He really lay in the tomb for that 3 days and three nights, the parts of those days. But on the third day, he rose again. And how blessed a thing that is. He fulfilled all of God's law, lay in the tomb on the Jewish Sabbath day evening, lying there still dead, his body, but having triumphed in death, his spirit triumphing in the resurrection on the first day of the week. Well, whole sermons could be preached on such a thing, and I only have a few moments, but you see, I want you to understand that God did answer the prayers of Christ in his resurrection from the dead. He couldn't answer him to deliver him. If he had delivered him, you and I would have no salvation. We would have nothing to rejoice in here today. if God had spared his own son, but it says in Romans 8, God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That is, for all who will trust in him. For all of his dear elect, for all those who persevere in their faith, but they persevere through grace, by faith. You see, the Lord Jesus could now appear among his brethren, like it says here, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Can you imagine what it must have been for more than 500 brethren to have seen the risen Christ on that one occasion? And that Christ would declare his name in the midst of them. That they would see him with his pierced hands and feet standing before them alive, who had endured such ignominy and such death, such sufferings on our behalf. Oh, it's just almost too much, isn't it? To think of the sorrows of Christ so that we might have great joy here today. But remember that Jesus said it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. All that he did for joy. What's the joy? It is that he is in the midst of this congregation here today. And his name is being declared here today. And by his Spirit, he declares himself in your heart through this supper to you. Do you see that? That is a tremendous thing. And what should be our response to such things? Well, I think it's found in verse 23. It says, "You who fear the Lord, praise him." Isn't that good? Do you fear the Lord? You say, "Well, I'm not quite sure what that means." Well, when you fear the Lord, it means that you have regard for him, that you stand in awe of him, that you reverence him, that you love him because of what he has done for you. You have regard for that. You have regard for these elements of this supper here today because you remember what it cost him. You remember he had to suffer so you could have these good things. But you remember that he did that so that you could be joyful. You can sorrow for your sin. You should sorrow for your sin. But remember, you should also rejoice and rejoice greatly because Jesus has overcome sin and death on your behalf. Rejoice greatly. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus is risen. He is risen from the dead. He is in your heart. You who have been made partakers of the divine nature, Christ is with us here today. His precious presence is with us in a special way here today to meet with us at this hour and to encourage our hearts and to strengthen them to do his blessed will. Fear him and love him and serve him. And remember that you are to give him the strength of your youth. Those of you who are young. And give him the strength of your middle age. You who are in middle age, and give him the strength of your old age, you who are older. Remember, Jesus has invited you to this banqueting table, and his banner over you is love. Well, Lyle, would you give thanks for these elements, please, for us?
Done for your church for all ages in Christ. And Lord, this perpetual supper feast that we partake of, indeed, Lord, cause us to remember all of the good things that you have given and provided in Christ to your church for all time, that we might praise you today and continue to praise you each and every day and throughout the week and weeks to come until we meet again.
Yes.
May we remember.
Yes.
The blessed Lord and his sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. I think everybody's upstairs, but I'm not sure. For I received of the Lord that which I have also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Brian, would you give thanks for the cup, please?
Heavenly Father, in the name of our Savior, we come to you, and we want that this token of your shed blood be a structure anew and afresh to us of what it took to atone for our sins and to bring us into right relationship with you and to deliver us from the wrath to come.
Amen.
We pray that this element indeed would be for that purpose. We would worship you in it, we pray.
Amen. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, which is given on behalf of many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Well, let's stand and conclude this service by singing the last two verses of hymn number 310 together. "I have no help but thine, nor do I need. I have no help but thine, nor do I need. Another arm save thine to lean upon. It is enough, Lord, enough indeed. My strength is in thy might alone. Mine is the sin, but thine the righteousness. Mine is the guilt, but thine the cleansing blood. Here is my robe, my refuge and my peace. Thy blood, thy righteousness, O Lord, my God. Amen." Let's pray together. Our Father, we come to you now and ask that you would seal these truths to our hearts, along with the elements that we have partaken of. And by your Holy Spirit, help us to live as those who would walk with you uprightly in sincerity of heart. In these coming weeks, Lord, strive with us by your grace so that we might be more holy and more righteous where we need to be, that we would be faithful to you in every respect. We are so thankful, dear Lord, here today that you are the eternal God and you are a dwelling place for us, and underneath are the everlasting arms. There is none like you, the God of Jeshurun, who rides the skies to our help and through the skies in his majesty. We pray your blessing upon us now, that we would seek your face this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.